She worked her fanny off this week. I thought, man, if there's a day she's going to be whipped, done, cooked. But she's here. Way to go, girl. It's a good whipped, but I know she is fried, and she came. So good for you. That's my girl. All right, boy, where do we go? Family devotions. Series we're starting, I introduced last week, and family devotions. Comes from Acts chapter 2. I'm assuming many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but for those that aren't, let me read verse 42 to 47 and see if I can get my thoughts regathered here. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So clearly it says they devoted themselves. Family devotions. This was a big gathering, a church, the church maternity ward. There were souls being added. The church was beginning this day by the thousands, and they were devoting themselves to each other in various ways. Family devotions. The family of God devoted two things. In this passage, they were doing all things together. This is a corporate passage. This is not individually. This is a corporate passage. They devoted themselves in homes. They went to the temple together, and as you read these next three or four chapters, you will find they gathered themselves together, and it was a corporate devotion to one another, to the family, and there were facets of that. There were parts of that, and that's what we're going to be talking about. That's a big one for the church in America today. That's a hard one for the church in America today. That's huge. As I look at this, as I kind of look at the landscape of this teaching, it's a mountain for me to try and climb to speak this over our small congregation. And I was just sitting here doing the math in my head. You know, we're missing close to 20 people today that are regular here. We're missing close to 20 people that are normally here. That's a big number for us. I mean, that's a huge number for us. But, you know, in a large church of 1,000, you wouldn't even know they were gone. And the reason I say this is that we all have lives outside of this place. We all have lives. We have things going. And in America, because we are so prosperous and so strong and so independent, and we're blessed. We're blessed in America. We create lives outside of the family of God. And we take our faith out into those lives. And many live it out there in some ways. And many go out with their faith and get beat up pretty bad. And then they come back, and I should have this magic bullet for their life, but I don't. That's who we've become in America today. I have my faith. I have my God. I believe in Him. I do some devotion. And then I pop in here on Sunday morning. Maybe Wednesday. This whole passage speaks about the church in a much different way. And I think it will do us really well to just at least give it a good look. Give this car a good drive. Because I think we're missing something. I think we're missing some power. I think we're missing some healing. I think we're missing some growth. I think we're missing some things essential to the Christian life if we don't come back to the strength and, quite honestly, to God's blessing of devoting ourselves to the family, to the family of God, to the local church, to the community gathered. And when we fill up our lives and our schedule all out there, yes, you have that grace to be able to take your faith and just go out there and live your life. It's not your salvation, but it may be your health, your spiritual health. It may be your sanity. It may be love. I don't know. But we're missing something in the Church of America today. Where we should be the most powerful organization and movement of people going, we seem to be struggling. And I think it's because we've let ourselves become so independent and splintered and scattered. I think we have to at least look at this subject. I think we have to at least approach it. I hope and I pray and I'm asking you, will you pray for me in the next weeks that I can present this biblically, accurately, lovingly, that we can get this right? If we can, it will be a mighty, mighty source of strength and power and influence and love and healing. Just for us, but for our families as well. Our families, listen to me, I'm begging you. Our families, and I'm talking about you individual families, your kids, your husbands, your wives, your families will not struggle. They will not suffer if you devote yourself to the family of God. You're missing a living God who's going to bless you, who blesses His church, who blesses His family, who blesses His people gathered. He blessed this gathering and thousands were saved. They were not struggling. They were selling possessions. They were meeting in homes. They devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves to each other gathered. And they were not suffering. They were not struggling. And I am begging you to hear me. Your family will not suffer if we devote ourselves to the family here. And somehow I think we've bought that. I think we've bought that. If I don't let Junior get involved in this, or if I spend too much time down there, or if I do this, if I get too involved there, my family's going to suffer. Come on. We can do better than that. We've got to know better than that. We're going to miss out on. Really? You're going to find God working amazingly in our lives. What are you going to miss out on when the Creator steps into your life? I think we've got to look at this. And I hope, and I'm asking you to pray for me as I present it in these next, I don't know how many weeks I'm going to do. I never know. It'll happen. So, let me begin here. I've pleaded with you. Please look at this with me over the next weeks. Pray for me. Acts chapter 2. Let me just show it to you. We'll touch on the first topic this morning of family devotion. I think this is going to startle you. I think this first topic this morning is going to stop you a little bit, cause you to rethink. But let me show it to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Verse 46, day by day attending the temple together. What did they do at the temple together? Well, if you read in these passages, Peter made his way to the temple to teach and to do various things, and they basically said, hey, Peter's at the temple, let's go. And thousands showed up at the temple to hear Peter teach. That's what was happening. And he was teaching them about Jesus from the Old Testament because they didn't have a New Testament. The New Testament was being born right there at the temple. Peter was talking, and nobody had a tape recorder, but they had a tape recorder, and they were going to be writing this down, and we have it. And they went. And Peter kept drawing them back to, and you can even see it in Acts as they quote the Old Testament. Hey, see this? Jesus. See this? Jesus. See this? Jesus. See this? Jesus. And they killed him. And so, not uncommon that thousands at a time would go, oh my gosh, look at that. Look at that. That's perfect. That is him. That was it. That is it. What do we have to do? And then he'd lead another thousand to the Lord. And the apostles, just a small group of 11 or 12 and their families and whoever was with them now, they began to just move and thrive together. Peter's there. Peter's there. Peter's there. Let's go hear it. We got to go hear it. Take your friends. Take that neighbor. Take these people. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And so he teaches. And they go, and the Lord added 2,000 this day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, before you go, Terry, you're asking me to read my Bible. I am not. Let's stop. I am before that. I'm not. Let's back up. Let's back up to the word devotion. They devoted themselves to it. What's that? What is that? They devoted themselves to it. Here's problem. I know people who are like clockwork at reading the Bible often. I know people who are like clockwork with a daily bread or something in the I know people who are like, is that devotion? Is that devotion to the Word of God? And the problem is, I know some of these people and their lives are just as messed up as someone who apparently has no value for the Word of God. I know people who are more scheduled and regimented and regular. Boom, I read X amount a day. Boom. And they can't seem to follow him that well. So there's something more than just sitting down in front of the book. There's something more than just popping open the daily bread and read that. Go about. There's something more than that. At this point, if you know me, you are just like, because Terry is all about the Bible. I am just a freak over the Bible. You know that? I know that. Who am I fooling here? And it almost sounds like I'm sitting here saying, well, wait a minute. There's something else. There is, and there's something more. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. They devoted themselves to. Think about these thousands of people. They all have families. They said, what do we have to do to be saved? And he said, well, you need to repent and be baptized, you and your families. So they had families, they had kids to feed, they had jobs to do, they had things going on, and they devoted themselves, to the teaching. They devoted themselves to it. Here's the best place I can show you a description of what I'm talking about. It's in Psalm 119. I would like you to turn there, and if you don't have a Bible, I'm going to put some phrases on the screen from Psalm 19. But there are some beautiful brown Bibles in front of most of you if you don't have a Bible, and they're there for you. So Psalms is real easy to find, and Psalm 119 is like a never-ending chapter in the Bible, all about the Word of God. Ha ha, wouldn't you know? I want to just skirt through here, and I'm trying to somehow define devotion is what I'm doing. I'm trying to describe, to paint with pictures and colors what it looks like to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. In verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I seek you, and then the parallel phrase, let me not wander from your commandments. So this is all about the Word of God. And he says, with my whole heart, I'm seeking you in the commandments. And it's so rich, and it's so true, that word wander, that when we begin to give the Word of God a little less and a little less, we begin to wander. So he says, here's my heart, O God, here's my heart, make it ever true, here's my heart, may I be like you, with my whole heart, I seek you in the commandments. I'll find you in the Word of God, and with my whole heart I seek you. Secondly, verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight. Now, delight, that's a weak word today in America. Watch what he says. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. As much as in if I just won Mega Millions. As much as if I just had that really cool car I just saw drive by with the pipes that I can never afford, I delight. That house with the pool and the big, I delight in your testimony. I delight. I get so much delight. I get so much thrill out of your word, out of your testimonies. I mean, it's right there with rich. It's right there with money. It's right there with the vacation in the Caribbean. It's right there. That's the thrill I find in your word. I'm devoted to it. My whole heart seeks it. And my joy, my delight, is just, the only way to describe it is wealthy. Verse 20. Listen to this. Feel the passion dripping off of this verse. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules. Is there anybody here who likes rules? I mean, come on. New Testament church in America today, we do everything we can to get away from rules. I mean, there's no rules. It's grace. There's no rules no more, right? No more law. No more commandments. No more, right? We're done with that, right? Listen. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules. Why? They're good. They're good. They contain wealth and riches and glory and Jesus. They're there. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times, all the time. I can't wait. Man, I'm just so consumed. Why? I'm looking for you and you're in there. Remember what he said? I seek you with my whole heart. Don't let me wander from your commandments. And I'm consumed with you. I'm consumed with finding you in there. I know I've seen you. I've touched you. I've walked with you. I found your rules and I walked just a little bit down this path and you were there. I'm consumed to see you again. I can't wait. I'm consumed all the time, all the time, all the time. God. Where's God? God, where's God? He's in the rule. I got to get in the word. I got to get in the rules. I got to find him because I want my God. And my soul is consumed. 10 minutes of morning, I'll say, oh, it's 4 o'clock. I'm going to go to my Bible, daily bread. There's a big difference between that and my soul is consumed with longing for you in your word. My soul is consumed to hear your voice in print. Jump off of that page into my ears and you to speak to me. I'm consumed. Big difference. Big difference. I haven't read my Bible yet today. Big difference. We're talking about devotion. Devotion. A church family who gets this, who understands this, and we're devoted to this. We're consumed with our God hearing his voice in these pages. Verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. Here they are. They're our delight again. They're my counselors. They're my counselors. So American church people might save us a whole lot of money paying some counselor that we don't even know or agree with half the time, $90 an hour, to go get his counsel when we could get it here. I'm not saying we don't need counselors. We do. But I'm saying you might cut your bill in half. Your testimonies are my delight, and I get my counsel from them. When I have a really tough decision, a life decision, I go there. You're my counselor. They're my count. I delight in them. They're like wealth. I get so much joy and wealth, and I get so much delight in their counsel. This next one, it's gonna jump up in your lap and lick your face like a dog. Okay, this next one, it's here. Okay, listen to this one. We're devoted. Verse 28. My soul melts away from sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Did you hear that? My soul melts away with sorrow. I am broken. I am torn up. My soul is melting away with sorrow. I don't know if I can get out of bed today. So I'm going to your word. Strengthen me with your word. That's where we go when we're devoted to him in the word of God, in the apostles' teaching, when our soul is melting all over the floor. I'm a puddle. I'm a mess. My life is shot. I don't know where I'm. We're going to the word of God for strength. I'm trusting the Word of God because it will pick me up. It will give me strength to put one foot here and one foot here, and that's about all I can accomplish right now. I don't even know if I can do that. Can you feel the passion in this? Can you feel what we're talking about here? This is not, I need to go to church this morning. This is an all-consuming, soul-consuming, heart-melting, heart-rendering, whole heart, jump into the Word of God because He's there and I will hear His voice, whether I need counsel, joy, riches, I need delight, I just want to be lifted up, or my soul is melting within me, I am so weak and shattered right now. I'm going into Your Word. I'm diving into the deep end of this refreshing pool that I don't know if I can keep breathing without it. Verse 40. Behold, I long for Your precepts. In Your righteousness, give me life. And I feel dead today. My soul is longing, hungry, starving for life. And I have tried everything this planet has to offer. I have given my body, my mind, my heart, my energy, my time. I have plunged in and I don't feel alive. And I long for Your Word to give me life. To give me life. To feel alive. Because my God spoke to me. My God entered my life and moved. And I'm alive. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. That's what we're saying. Lord, meet me. Lord. Come on. And it's not in a perfect life. And it's not in a perfect church. And it's not in no problems. It's in all problems. It's when I need counseling and when I feel dead and when I'm consumed with sorrow and when things are good. It's I need You. I need Your Word. I need to meet You like I need to breathe right now. Lord, come on. Teach me. Speak to me. I have to have You. That's devotion. That's devotion to the Word of God. In the heart of that word devotion is endurance, is the word endurance. And it means You won't stop me from finding You in the Word of God. Because I have to have You like I have to have air. You are the air I breathe. And this group of several thousand were devoted to it. You wouldn't stop them from going to hear Peter and the other apostles preaching. When Paul was in town later, you wouldn't stop them. They're devoted to the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to paint. The picture I'm trying to paint. We have readers. We have DVDs we can. We have the internet. I got a Bible app. I have that. And I'm still watching churches and believers crash and burn. And they seemingly come to me for answers that I go like, well, it's right here. John 3:16, 23rd Psalm. Let me give you 50 other references that I... You know this, right? Uh-uh. I'm talking to people who have been hanging around church for a long time. Gave my life to Christ 20 years ago. And somehow they're not quite getting that it's the air I breathe. It's where I meet my Savior. It's what keeps me out of trouble if you're a person like me. Because I'm prone to wander. I'm in the Word, man. I'm in the Word. And if I don't, man, that verse has my name written all over it. Terry, devote yourself to my Word, to finding me, so you don't wander. Thank you very much, Lord. That verse is just for me. That's where the church is, and that's where we need to go, because the church is prone to wander, and we've sort of downplayed the essence and the heart and the passion and the need and the urgency of us to meet Him in the Word. And we wander. And we get ourselves into some strange places. So I've asked myself then, why? That's the question, right? Why doesn't normal Christian, average church attender, saved, what would hinder us from understanding this truth? What would hinder us from grasping this is a miraculous, divine, inspired book? 66 different books over thousands of years. There's just nothing at all of anything we possess in our life. There is nothing that even comes close to the miraculousness of this book. There is nothing, you can't name it, that even comes close to what it would take to try and put this together. If you decided today to build another one of these in the same time frame with the same authors and the same cohesiveness and the same truth from geology to science to everything, you couldn't do it. I mean, it's impossible to build that little book unless you're God. Unless you're God, it's impossible. So what would hinder the church from understanding this is God's breath on paper and I need to breathe it like I need food, like I need air? What would hinder us? What would cause us to go, no, I'm not going to go hear the Word of God corporately with my church family. I'm not going to go grow with them today because there's a really cool car show down at the corner. What would bring that attitude, that disposition into not just this church, I mean church, Big C church. How would we start to grasp this? I don't need to go with those people today and learn the Word of God and dive in and hug and pray with Eldon and June. We don't need to go do that because, well, I'm going to the lake today, quite honestly. I mean, I'm going to go grill some good hot dogs. What would seep that into this community we call the church that knows the living God? What would do that? Well, one is you have to look at the Holy Spirit. These people in Acts, they weren't saved very long. And that whole passage, those whole chapters were all about the Spirit came, the Spirit came, the Spirit came, the Spirit came. And they spoke in tongues. And we've just got so many people that have just tromped off down this path of tongues now. And they're missing the whole point that the tongues were signs for unbelievers, as it clearly was in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 14. It just says Acts are a sign for tongues for unbelievers. So we stomped off into that whole arena of it and missed the teaching that this is really saying, look, the Spirit has come. You Gentile nations, you people from other countries, you're speaking in this language. You don't know how to talk German. Harry said you were just quoting Psalm 23 and I didn't even know it. He interpreted it and it was beautiful. The whole point is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came in them. Jesus said, He's been with you, but He's going to be in you. And He said, look, this is what the prophet Joel said. This is the Spirit. He's in you now. Can you see? Can you hear? It's the Spirit. And what's the Spirit do? He gives life, and the Spirit draws them into the family, and thousands are being saved, and thousands are moving together as this big swarm of fish. Man, they're just like Nemo. And you're just in this thing, and Peter's there, and the whole swarm of fish goes right over here. They're there, and they're there, and they go to people's homes, and they're just like this big, giant, oceanic swarm of bait fish. Just, it's the Spirit moving them into the Word of God. He's just drawing them. The church doesn't have that pull. I think we have to start there. Am I hearing the Holy Spirit? Is He pulling me and I'm saying no? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Is He in me? Do I get it? You can't say no to the Spirit. He can keep nagging you. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. This is your breath. This is your food. This is your blood. This is where I'll talk to you. Come. Come. Maybe He's telling you to come and you're saying, no, go on the beach. No. Got to wash the car. Don't have time. Has the Spirit been talking? Let's just start there. He's been talking. You've been saying no? I don't know. We've got to start there. That's what Acts is all about. There's one in Psalm 19 I want you to see, and I think this resonates with a lot of us. Psalm 119. Back to that mega chapter. Psalm 119, verse 22. So this whole chapter is about the Word of God, and the writer here, David, says this: take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. Take away from me the scorn and contempt, and princes are plotting against me. I'm going to your word. And what he's saying here is that this, that in life, when you and I walk out these doors, there are princes and people plotting against us. We have people out there who just don't like us. It could be at work, it could be at school, it could be in your neighborhood, it could be anywhere. It could be science on TV, it could be the guy in the coffee shop, it could be anywhere. And if you start talking about the Word of God, if you start living it out, if that becomes your counselor for doing life, the princes of this world are going to scorn and contempt you. They're going to shame you, is what this says. And so your faith in the Word of God, your belief in the Word of God is really kind of weak. You really don't think it's truth. You really don't think it's strong enough to overcome the princes of this world, and you will be made fun of. You will be shamed. You will be scorned. You will fall under contempt because you really don't understand the depth and the strength of the Word of God. He will make this happen. And so this author writes, take away from me any contempt, any shame, any scorn. I'm the king of a nation, and I have princes plotting against me. I'm going to your word for counsel. I'm going to the Word of God for counsel. See, our problems, our opponents, those who would want to harm us and shame us and get us off the path, they're real and they're powerful, but they have nothing to do against the power of the Word of God in our life. They hold no power. Well, will they wag their tongue at us? Sure. So what? So what? Don't we teach our kids on the playground? Don't worry about that. They won't stop you. They're sure not going to stop the Lord of heaven who wrote this. Sometimes I think there are princes of this world that we're just worried about being shamed by. Yet the Word of God can't overcome my real problems and the real princes of this life. I think the natural thing to do, if you're a believer and you think the princes of this life are too real and too strong, I think the natural thing for you to do is to go home to your house, and when nobody's looking, look at the Bible real quick and then put it down and don't tell nobody. And you kind of, maybe I'll try that tomorrow, maybe, but if somebody says something, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to be, so I'm just going to kind of stick my toe, maybe, in the water. That's pretty deep. I'm just keeping this to myself. I have my own devotions. I have my own thoughts about God. I have my own thing. I just don't, church, spiritual but not religious, so to speak. That's the big byline. No, this is private. No, this is... This whole book says devote yourselves together to trust, to ache for the Word of God. Together, it's your counselor, it's your guide. Together, learn the Word of God. Together, go fall under the Word of God. Together, encourage. Together, that soul that's melting with sorrow, go find them in the Word of God. Raise them up in strength. Hold each other up when the princes are knocking on the door. Come together. I have to introduce you to one last passage of Scripture that's in the New Testament to make more relevant this teaching, because there are those that go, we're not in the Old Testament anymore, you know. And I'm working on them. I'm working on them. It's all one book. It's all one story. It's all beautiful. It all fits together. New Testament quotes the Old Testament hundreds of times. But I'm working on them. But there are those who would say that. So I'm going to show you in the New Testament passage of Scripture saying the exact same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now Mark is going to put verses 1 through 3 up there, or he's going to show you that. I'm going to start just a hair before that so that you know I'm not totally just taking this passage of Scripture and twisting it all out of shape. Listen as I read verse 21. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So you're saved, you're a believer, okay? You've purified your soul for your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly, that's agape love, from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now that's how he sets up chapter 2. And he sets it up by this. Don't miss this. Since you love each other with this brotherly love, in the family, you have this brotherly love here. I need you to take it to the next level, to the agape love. I need you to solidify the family here in love. I need you to draw this whole group to another level in love through the Word of God. Because of the Word of God. It's how you were saved. It's how you purified your soul. And now, moving on, moving forward from your salvation, I need you to take the family of God and just take it to the heights of the highest mountains of love through the Word of God. Why? Why can we do that? Why can we trust the Word of God here to bring our love to this culmination, to bring this strength to a culmination? How can we trust the Word of God in 2018? Because, he says it right here, it's living and abiding. All flesh is like grass. All its glory is the flower. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the good news that was preached to you. Listen to me. In 100 years, every human being on this planet is dead, but the word of God will be in that pulpit, will be on those bookshelves, will be preached somewhere. Every one of us, in all our glory and all our thinking and all our technology and all our princes, and will all be dead. But not that. And it hasn't been dead. And it's been going on for thousands of years. And he says, it's living. It's living. And it's remaining. Your problems in 200 years will be conquered by the living and remaining Word of God. Because he is the Creator, the Eternal One of all times. And he wrote the book. He's the author. You will go there safely, securely, soundly for the next thousands of years, if I tarry. Now, you remember Hebrews? Hebrews said what? Word of God's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Peter says the Word of God is living and remaining. It's alive. It moves. So you, church, can take your love and your personal issues of life, you can bring it all together into the Word of God and take your love and your power to another level, because this is living and abiding. It's going nowhere. Your princes are going somewhere, but this book goes nowhere. Now, with that in mind, 1 Peter chapter 2. So, since we're going to draw this family devotion together around the Word of God. So put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander. That sounds like human problems to me. Prince problems to me. Put it all away, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if you really have tasted the Lord is good. If you've really tasted the Lord is good. Like a newborn baby, infant, who has had a few good on that formula or breast milk or whatever, and it's time, and he or she is longing for dinner. Wah! That's how he says you should long for the pure spiritual milk of the living and remaining Word of God, because it will take your family to another level of love and power and healing and hope. It will keep you from wandering from your God. It will keep you from wandering down paths that you will later say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I read the Word of God. You better do more than read the Word of God, brothers. You better dig into it like it's your life and your blood, and like you're a newborn baby craving your next bottle. Peter, the same guy preaching there in Acts chapter 2, says the same thing later to these churches and to these believing Jews scattered abroad. Don't stop. Don't stop now. Put away all your malice, all your slander, all your solutions to your petty personal problems, to your princes, and get in the Word of God and let Him heal your life. Meet with God and let Him heal you. Let Him gird you up. Let Him strengthen you. Crave Him. So, to conclude, I would say, what would help us with this? Devote yourself to family learning. Devote yourself to this family of people who are going to come and watch this monkey jump across and back and forth the stage with the Word of God in his hand and teach you the Word of God. And then you come either after church or on Wednesday night or sometime, and you just chew it up between yourselves. You talk about it. You encourage it. Hey, did you hear what Pastor said this morning? That's a good verse, man. You need encouragement, right? He said that's for you, yeah. You discuss it. You chew on it. Last Sunday, Kim asked me some good questions after church about what I was preaching. Those are good questions. He was half apologetic about it. I said, don't you apologize to me. Those are good questions. I want you to think about what I said. I want you to digest what I said. I want you to think about it. If you don't get it, I want you to come and see me. This is not private. I'm not the Dalai Lama up on some mountaintop. It's right here. Let's talk. Kim's my brother. He loves the Word of God. That much I do know. Many of you are too. Let's devote ourselves to this. To Wednesday, whatever. Whenever we gather, let's just go, hey, we're teaching. Hey, we got something going. Hey, Word of God's being opened down at the church. Let's go. Let's go together as a family. Let's learn together as a family, like Acts chapter 2. Devote ourselves to the teaching. Ask yourself. And this is for you. This is for you to go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself, is that my relationship to the Word of God and to God? Do I crave it? Do I hunger for it? Do I depend on it? See, I'm not asking you to read it. Oh, I am. I am. I'm really asking you to just utterly trust and depend and crave. To hunger and starve without it. That's really what I'm asking this morning. To look in the mirror and ask ourselves as a family, as a true family of God, and I believe we are. Do we have an insatiable addiction, drive, hunger? To find Him in the Word of God as we gather and learn and grow and heal our lives. That's what I'm asking. Or is it a routine devotion? Is it just a once in a while I didn't have time this week? Or, and if that's you, then you have an answer for the issues and the struggles and the soul-melting sorrow. For the princes that seem to be getting the best of you, you have an answer then. And I'm asking for us as a family to devote ourselves then to it. As if we were newborn babes, craving our next meal. And it's the middle of the night, and mom's sleeping, and dad's sleeping, and I don't care. I'm going to scream until I get a bottle. Is that us? My grandson, JJ, has just started running cross country. And I got a little video of him running cross country, and he hated to run. He hated to run. His dad would take him out running, and he'd run a little ways, and he'd stop, and he'd go, ah. But they signed him up anyway for cross country, and he got out in cross country in the competition, and the competition got a hold of him, and he was not about to let those other little boys beat him. And his time over that long, long haul just dropped by minutes because he had competition. And he had opponents. And you and I have competition and an opponent. And we're going to need to sit long and deeply with our Lord talking to us in His Word, joining together as a family to digest and soak, to sit in the hot tub of His Word and grow. Put off all malice, all slander, all junk that we get accused of so often, because the Word of God is living and timeless. It will remain long after we're gone. And it's already been here long before we got here. You can trust it. We can. As a big school of fish that we are, we can trust it. So I'm asking you, will you join with me and Terry? Devote ourselves. Join this school of fish. Come on. We're devoted to the Word of God. We're devoted. We're starving for it. It will lead us. It will take us to Him, which is where we want to go. Lord, thank You. You've given us a treasure. And maybe the veil lies over our eyes to see it for what it is. It is truth. It has withstood tests of thousands of years. Science and technology and brilliance of all the princes of this world, it stands and it will be standing. And You have given it to us to bring us to You. Lord, we get saved by it and then we think we don't need to live by it. We trust You in it. I pray for each one of us that we will hunger and crave it. I pray, Lord, give us a hunger for Your Word. Bring us to Yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Continue. Please continue to pray for your brothers and sisters that Wendy laying up there with her mom all gadgeted up. Tony. Some others. There are others of you that are hurting deeply. Soul-melting sorrow. Continue to pray and encourage each other, would you? Thanks. Have a good week.